Okay, everyone, welcome. And I have been asked to ask everyone to please remember to switch off your mobiles before we start. Okay, I'll just, as usual, just give a couple, few minutes of introduction before we get on to the actual meditation itself. And one of the things that I've been talking about recently, which can often be a very powerful way of helping to deepen the meditation, in particular to quieten the mind, is to kind of have the right outlook, the right view, looking at the world in the right way. Because as we look at the world in the right way, look at it in the Buddhist way, then in a sense we understand why happiness, why contentment, why peace, why all of these things are to be found in meditation practice, by being quiet, and we incline the mind towards those states as a consequence. And so there's a lot to be said for this idea of right view, for inclining the mind in the right direction. And one of the things I was talking about here before is this idea that we always have kind of ideas about the future, dreams about the future, and a lot of the thinking mind is kind of looking at the future in a with rose-tinted glasses. We see the future in a way which actually is not really realistic. And just by remembering that, just by reminding ourselves of this whole idea that the future is not really all that it is made out to be usually, means that we can withdraw from that and get into the present moment instead. Yeah, and I like one of the beautiful simile that Ajahn Brahm uses is the idea of, you know, when you come to the end of a movie, you see the hero or the heroine kind of riding into the sunset. Yeah, and that is just a complete delusion, because Ajahn Brahm says, what you should ask the question then, it looks like that's kind of the end, this is the final thing, this is what happens. But you should ask yourself the question, then what? Yeah? Okay, you ride into the sunset, and then when you ride into the sunset, what happens afterwards? Well, you go back home, yeah? You wash the dishes, wash your clothes, and you have all the ordinary things happening afterwards. It's such a beautiful way of thinking about it. It's far more realistic. All those ideas about the future are not really, that's not how life actually works out. And it's not just true in regard to kind of big dreams and ideas about the world, but it's true about all the decisions and things that we make also in ordinary life. We have this feeling that once we get this decision sorted out, we got this thing, you know, this thing that we're thinking about all the time, we get a decision on that, then somehow there will be some degree of resolution in our life. But of course, it's never ending. Yeah, there's one problem. There's another one coming soon afterwards. So there is no end to that kind of problem solving here. So again, it looks like there's something is going to be very useful is going to come out of solving a problem. But the reality is that actually it isn't all that useful at all. Nothing very often comes out of that. More comes up down the comes up afterwards. And in any case, of course, the most important, the critical thing here is that if you really want to solve problems, if you want to have clarity, you want to know what you're doing, the mind that is peaceful, the mind that is mindful, the mind that kind of is at rest, where there is less defilements and less problems in the mind, it's a far more powerful tool to make any kind of decisions anyway. So just thinking about things is not really the answer. So you may wonder, why do we even do it? And the reason why we do it is because a lot of the thinking gratifies the doer inside of us. It feels like we're doing something useful. And that's why it is so important to counter that delusion by understanding that it doesn't really get us anywhere. Because as we counter that delusion, it doesn't really get you anywhere. Then the mind allows the mind to become more peaceful as a consequence. So these are some kind of little things to remind you of how to go about this, how to allow the mind to quieten down. Another little thing that I sometimes use in my meditation practice is to think about also where true happiness lies in meditation. You know, where what actually is suffering, where is real happiness to be found? And it's remind yourself of those times when you had a really peaceful meditation, yeah? It was maybe the deepest meditation you had. And what you realize at those times that so many things that you normally are aware of, so much of your sensory input, yeah, so much of the kind of the doing from the inside, the thinking, all this activity we have, all that has quietened down, yeah? The less things there is going on, the less of the doer there is, the less of this thinking mind there is, actually the more happiness there is. You feel peaceful, you feel almost like an inner kind of empowerment, yeah, when this happens. And it's a very beautiful state of mind with far less suffering than there is in ordinary life. That's where you start to understand things like why the doer is a bit like a torturer, this activity inside of us all the time has almost like a torturing aspect to it. Once you let go of that, you actually feel far better for it. So these are just little pointers of what I would call right view on the Buddhist path, straight view, view according to the Buddha, and just inclining the mind a little bit in that direction straight away tends to quiet things down, because you realize actually it's a complete waste of time. It doesn't get you anywhere. You will still think a little bit, but at least it will reduce, hopefully, the thinking mind a little bit. And the thinking mind is one of those things that are the most persistently kind of hard to overcome in meditation practice. So we need all the encouragement and all the wisdom that we can have to overcome these things. So let us try it out in practice and see what happens. Okay, so as always, at the beginning, make sure that you take plenty of time just to relax and just to sit back and allow things to settle down. Very often you find that if you can just really let go and relax at the beginning and allow things to settle down, often things tend to just take the right path all by themselves. So just sit back and relax and allow things to be peaceful and nice. Absorb, as usual, the nice feeling of being in a good company, in a good place. And as you do that, the mind tends to peace by itself. And just allow yourself to relax into the present moment. And to be able to do that, it is so useful to bring a bit of goodwill into the meditation practice. And to bring that goodwill with you, all you have to do is just to reflect a little bit on all the wonderful people that actually exist in this world. We are in good company now, but not just here, around the world there is actually a lot of goodness. What a wonderful thing it is that there are people and also invisible beings supporting each other in this way and lifting up the world in a positive way. Just by seeing that goodness in the world already has a very nice and uplifting effect on the mind, and it allows you to become peaceful so much more easily. And as we go along, you find that you enjoy your meditation reasonably well, that your mind is still very active. Just try some of those little tricks of understanding reality. Remember that the thinking mind will never get you anywhere. There is no goal with a thinking mind. There is no final resolution. There's just more of the same down the line. And on top of that, it is not really powerful and fit for purpose. And also, it is a degree of suffering and problem compared to the peace that is available. Just remember these simple truths and see if that helps you to become more peaceful in your meditation. And sometimes it can take a while before the mind becomes ready for the real meditation, because before it becomes peaceful and at ease in the present moment. But when it does, it is so delightful. And with that delight arises the breath often in the mind's eye. And when that happens, you're already doing mindfulness of breathing. But just stay with that breath. No force, no willpower, allow it to come and go by itself. And this way, gradually, you increase the focus on the breath. And this is the path forward into deep meditation practice.
Now we're getting close to the end of the meditation. But before we come to the very end, once again ask yourself how you feel now. And if you feel more relaxed than at ease, if you feel more still than mindful, if you feel more positive in whatever way, ask yourself why that is the case. Try to see the process of meditation, the sort of attitudes that work, the sort of way that allows a meditation to work out by itself. Okay, everyone, is there any question or comment from anyone? Anything anyone would like to say? Everybody happy? Yeah, okay, good, yeah? Very good, okay, so let's see what people from outside the center have to say. So first question from Mr. Tan, or Mr. Tan in Singapore. What is the difference between contemplation and analytical thinking for meditation? Okay, so analytical thinking, I think, is often best left out of the meditation practice. It's useful to maybe do a little bit of analytical thinking after the meditation, just like we did now, try to understand the causes, the effects. What is the attitude, yeah? What is the things that you let go of? What is the perception that you give rise to? You kind of think back, how does the process work? And as you understand this, you get some idea where your mind should be in the future to enable you to make the meditation work. Yeah, so we learn how to work the mind in the right way, and this is really what this is about. And this is a degree of analysis, analytical thinking is actually very useful to do that sort of thing here. Sometimes also use a little bit of analytical thinking when you contemplate, and contemplation is often kind of, it can be simple things, yeah? Simple things like even metta requires a little bit of contemplation sometimes. If you're going to do the metta practice, the loving kindness, the goodwill and this sort of thing, you have to direct your mind in a certain way. Look at the positive qualities of people. There's a little bit of degree of contemplation in that. But then there are other contemplations, yeah, like are often taught by the Buddha, things like death contemplation. Yeah, death contemplation can be very powerful and useful because it reminds you that you can let go of everything in this life. When you let go of everything in this life, the mind tends to become very peaceful as a consequence. So death contemplation can actually also be very, very useful. The ideal thing to do is to decide before you do your meditation what you're going to do. Otherwise you think, yeah, okay, I'm going to do a bit of this, a bit of that, and your mind moves from, you know, contemplation to peace, and you don't really know what you're doing. So be relatively clear beforehand what you're going to do. Yeah, and then on the way, if you need to change your topic a little bit, let's say you feel a bit tired, yeah? A nice antidote to tiredness is to do a bit of metta, for example. Metta tends to brighten the mind up, energizes things. If you don't feel tired, if you have too much thinking, calm things down and remember the problems with a thinking mind. So it's time and place is what it's really all about. Okay, good luck with that. Then we have from Mitra in Norway. Okay, I'm not sure if this is the Mitra I know, but anyway, I know a certain Mitra. Anyway, in Norway, the harvesting trees is part of our survival for warmth and building materials. The harvesting of trees, yeah, is chopping down a tree considered a breach of the first precept if done with respect and mindfully. Chopping down a tree is never considered breach of the first precept, whether you do it mindfully or completely without mindfulness, or you do it with respect. I would never consider doing things with disrespect. It's not a good idea, but it's not really a bad karma, regardless of how you do it. Trees are kind of outside of what we consider the conscious realm in Buddhism. So there's no problem there. The use of trees and that sort of thing, you don't really have anything to worry about. It is true that the monks have a precept for this, but that is kind of for other reasons. It's more for cultural reasons than for moral reasons that we have that particular precept as monastics. Then we have from Samantha in India. That's really nice. Okay. Could you please advise how to uplift the mind of a person who wishes to meditate but consumes excessive alcohol in the past and has a sluggish state of mind? Okay, so basically you uplift the mind, you have to, this is what the kind of the preliminary aspects of the Buddhist path is about. And if you undertake the Buddhist precepts, if you undertake to live a life of kindness and compassion, it doesn't take that long before the mind starts to feel uplift. Because you know that you're living well. Yeah, you feel kind of, I'm living well. Wow. And you feel kind of happy about yourself. And this is really what that uplift of the mind is about. And this is why ethics, morality, and these things are so fundamental on the Buddhist path. Without that, it's very, very difficult to find that uplift which allows meditation to happen. Make sure that this person, that they try to live as well as possible, to be generous, kind to the people around you, take every opportunity to do the right thing. And as you do that, the uplift will tend to happen as a matter of course. Also, learn to forgive the past. Yeah. Remind people that we are often prisoners of our past. We are prisoners of the thing that happened before. Yes, the person may have consumed much alcohol, but why did they do that? Probably because they were prisoners of some kind of personality trait that they couldn't stop. Yeah. Once we understand that about ourselves, we can forgive ourselves for our mistakes and the shortcomings. Realize that actually we are just kind of playing out this program that we have kind of inherited from past lives or whatever it is. So forgiveness is also very useful. Let go of that. Now I have changed. Now I'm moving towards brightness and away from that darkness. And as you do that, the positive mind states start to come. Look at the future with positivity. Yeah, you're now on the right path. Wow, the future suddenly becomes so much brighter when you're doing something good in your life. Okay, that is all for now. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.